Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO Peoples Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. In an extremely tight labor market, workforce development is critical to continued success. In this download, Tampa Bay Business Journal editor Alexis Milner welcomes a local leader who's moving the needle. Yvonne Fry, CEO of Future Career Academy and Workforce Development Partners.
Yvonne Fry, welcome to the Florida Business Minds podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to spend some time with you today and talk about things that I love to talk about.
Same here. Workforce Development Partners started in 2015 with a job fair and a grassroots initiative at Plant City High School. And in the 9 years since, you've continued to develop this model that connects high school students and adults, really, with hiring businesses, finding good jobs. And now you've scaled it to Hillsborough County. And if I'm not mistaken, there are 6 future career fair events. I got to witness one earlier this month, which was quite an incredible experience. We got events planned around the county, and students were arriving with all this fanfare, and you had all the adults and the exhibitors really taking part. I want to get to some of that and the 43 hiring partners, but let's start, because this has statewide reach, assessing where the state of the talent and workforce needs are now, because it's a big issue, and I'm really curious what you're hearing out there from these hiring organizations.
Yes, and thank you for that. We are at the culmination of our year-long work with high school seniors. So what you mentioned, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But what we're hearing, you know, when we started in 2015, it was because employers that we were talking to were so concerned with workforce, not with new business. They were throttled for growth because of workforce issues. And so what an easy, seemingly, pipeline to tap into. And therein lies the magic with all of this, is how do you tap into that? How do we prepare and connect, which is our mission, those graduating seniors into the great jobs and training opportunities. And as we've looked over the course of this, with starting in 2015 with one job fair and the evolution that has taken us now to serve all 32 high school career and exceptional centers in the 7th largest school district in the country, there's been a lot of evolution. There's been a lot of add-ons that have come with the input and great feedback from our business partners all along the way around the methodology, the timing, the programmatic pieces of it, and of course, the content of the curriculum that we do. And through that, even with COVID, we had that moment when we were all shut down and those uncertain times. But even with that, there's always been so much opportunity here. There's been some ebb and flow with some industries and so on. And to get to the present day, we're seeing some compression in some industries like finance. You know, those middle managers are being eliminated to some degree to tighten up, bring up those younger folks that cost them a little bit less right now. Construction is thriving and is such a strong sector in all ways and are begging for workforce and have such competitive opportunities for our students. Warehousing, logistics, all of that, strong, 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 just continues to get stronger here in Florida. We cover 16 different industries, including entrepreneurship, which overlays everything. And there's just so much opportunity and something for everybody. That's the beauty of all this. There's something for everybody and a lot of new industry continuing to make their roots here in Florida because it's such an attractive place to be.
It helps to have a growth market, and not only here in our neck of the woods in Central Florida, Central Gulf Coast, given the kind of migration that we're seeing, and statewide. I mean, Florida has just, economy is growing, and to your point, depending on where the industry ebb and flow is, there is something and a need for these employers no matter where the economy is. I'm sure that's part of the thinking in terms of your model.
Absolutely. There's so much diversity. We identify our industries around what overall, not just in this single quarter or what have you, has good growth trajectory, high demand, living wages, and opportunities for career advancement. And those are the things that we're really looking for our program is entry-level positions, you know, that then scale and continue to create those opportunities. And across that, like I said, even whenever some are up and down, there's still such great variety and diversity of opportunities that no matter who's in our room for those hiring events or that we're visiting on our business tours with students, there is always something that piques their interest and that they can lean into and use as that launching pad. And, you know, you think about that, more companies are trying to get employees younger so they can invest in them, grow them in, with their culture, with their ways and methodologies and their keys to success that they're looking for. But we also know that there's a lot of folks that are going to start with a certain company, grow a little bit and realize, I want to bounce over here or what have you. So a lot of flexibility as that market continues to fluctuate, but always a lot of opportunity here.
And the origination was a job fair in Plant City, which is where I know where you grew up and where you have a lot of heart and soul invested in not only Strawberry Country, but just the city in general. And did you think it would scale to this? And as we begin to think about sort of its future, scaling isn't easy, right? I mean, talk a little bit about sort of its early genesis. I know some of that just came out of your own observations about preparation for students coming out of high school.
Right. Being from Plant City, it's such a special place to be from, to be a part of. We're a roll-up-our-sleeves kind of town. And if there's something to be done, we're all going to be a part of that. We're going to make a plan and go the distance. And that's what has happened with this. I'm the tip of the spear, but there's so many people that are vested with this. And my nature, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love building. I love creating. I love solving problems and addressing things for great outcomes and impact for everybody. It's the greater good. It's building strong communities. And that's really what we've done. And that first job fair, it was so clunky. The kids had no idea what they were coming down to. One of our largest employers, Hardy Manufacturing, had said, we really want to get in front of your kids before they graduate. How do we do that? And that's how the job fair happened. They were seeing what I now know as the term disconnected youth. They were seeing students that had graduated, had no idea of the true career type opportunities, the great wages that were available in these different industries right under their nose in their community. And they would go work other jobs or kind of float around and maybe get into some trouble. If you get a driving record, if you ruin your credit, if you get a criminal record, those things that happen whenever you're floundering and you're not rooted with purpose into something, that really, really, really creates barriers from your greatest success. And employers were frustrated with that because they wanted to get a hold of those kids sooner and make sure that we could shepherd them into strong stability financially, socially, all of those things. And that's how this all started. And then as we move forward, it's just been amazing. Like I said earlier, the evolution of this, our businesses continue to say, have you ever thought about, and what if we tried this, and we need this in this product? Students are a product that become the workforce. So we need to think in those terms of how do we prepare them in the right way? And it's just been amazing how here in Plant City, I was at the Plant City EDC executive committee meeting yesterday morning, and there was still conversation that I was taking notes on and feedback that's coming at me that really will continue to help propel us forward. And we've taken that and extrapolated. We do a business strategic planning session with a lot of our employers in May, right after the school year is winding down, and elicit lots of feedback. We really want to hear from them because as that serial entrepreneur, I'm never satisfied. There's still so much more ground to be gained and things that we can do to prepare successfully for those, not only the interview, but to be a great employee, to be a great citizen, all the facets of that, of how do we lean in and help stabilize folks to their greatest success.
What are a couple of examples of developments that the employer partners have brought to the table that you didn't think of initially?
Well, curriculum is one thing. Initially, we were sharing with the school district what outcomes that we wanted them to help prepare the kids for. And we finally arrived at, before last school year, that we were going to generate all of the curriculum. And we have implemented curriculum in their senior year of English classes. That's usually the last required course that everybody takes in their senior year. So we get everybody. And initially, we had focused in on English 4 and English 4 honors, which are the students that aren't necessarily going right out to college. And now our curriculum is available to everyone. But every bit of the industry exploration, the professional development, all those parts and pieces are all directly impacted and spoken into by our employers. Not only we should have it and so on, but what should it be? Something else, everybody knows us as, for our program, our signature program, Future Career Academy, we have another program called Best Florida Jobs. And Everett Morrow, he was CEO at the time of Landmark Engineering. He was leaving one of our student job fairs very early on. And he said, Yvonne, you've got all these employers assembled. why not bring in the rest of the community for the afternoon and let us round out our hiring needs? At the same time, I was getting calls from students who had been there the year before who wanted back in that room because they can't ever access those decision makers in the same way. And I was getting calls from parents who were saying, you're talking to my kids about wages and opportunities that I've never been able to access. So now we have an adult portion of our work as well to round all that out. The last thing that we do before the students leave our hiring events is we give them a business card with the QR code for Best Florida Jobs. And we tell them, don't, you know, just keep following up. If at some point you feel like you've exhausted all the things that you've identified today, go to this, because you're an adult now, go to the Best Florida Jobs piece and continue the search, because we continue to add new employers and opportunities there constantly. And that way there's always a resource there for them. And we've gotten a lot of input of how we can continue to grow that resource as well. So there's so many things that we do that we're all from input from others to say, this might work, and, you know, let's try this, and this would help us, and so on. And we listen. That's maybe one of my superpowers. As opposed to hearing me talk so much today, I am a good listener. I do love to facilitate out and challenge folks about what else can take us to that next level for everybody's success. That's a lot of fun.
This domain is ripe for that kind of creative thinking, listening, interpreting, building on the energy that is inspiring when that happens. And I think some of the details are in the soft skills of eye contact, strong handshakes, being present, body language, you know, resume building, elevator pitches, right? These are some of the things that I noticed in observing the career fair out at TPEP and Hospitality Center. I imagine those things also have evolved in terms of what to include in that curriculum that's a little beyond more traditional kinds of curriculum that you'd see in high school.
Absolutely. And if you think about our kids that are graduating now and what they've lived through with COVID and how the world shut down, their socialization process, progress was really halted and affected in ways of how they viewed the paradigm. One, you don't have to show up. Two, you don't have to engage. Three, you're not accountable for results. And that is being demonstrated in how they are actually being employees. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Employers will tell us right now that attendance, punctuality, and paying attention, staying off your phone, are the top three things that we've got to get as kind of the leveling for that next level of success. We have employers talking about a bonus for showing up consistently every day on time for a certain period of time. The things that we take as basics, we are addressing those and really painting a picture for what does success look like? How do you get there? And giving them some hard truth in that, but with that picture of success. Many of our kids will tell you, like, my options, I could be a YouTuber, I could be Tom Brady. And that's pretty much my options. And so as we broaden that, then we talk about, well, what does it take to actually do that? And the hustle, the commitment, the integrity, all of those things are all part of our work with those soft skills. So yes, that list is exhaustive. And we keep a parking lot of that. We committed to what we could roll out new this year. We've got a parking lot of things that are coming out next year. And I believe that will just continue to grow in its depth. We're excited to continue to add to that.
I keep thinking about work ethic and something that isn't taught, that people learn from example. And some of the folks are just born with it. Others, I don't know. That's something that's hard to come by. But I think you do need to sort of push those truths and help kids understand that these things are going to help you stand out and differentiate. And I imagine their listening skills are part of that too, Yvonne.
Yes. What we see is that they just don't know. So there's not necessarily judgment in this. It's just meet them where they are emotionally and informationally. The emotional part of this is building trust. We, from the very start, you know, our curriculum starts second week of school, continues to roll through one day a week, all year long. And the first time that we show up in person is with our business panels in the fall. We go to all the schools. We have 9 days. I say we take the dream team every day. It's localized industry leaders. These are all employers. It's not the elected officials. It's not anything else. It is truly about the industries in their backyard that can come and talk to them about what's available, the diversity, so that if we've got 500 kids in that audience of all the senior class, my goal is that every student in there can see somebody, something, some industry, some job, something that is relatable that says that feels comfortable to me and that there's a connection point. And our number one goal with those business panels is to first build trust but secondly, help them understand and have hope in their heart. And that's one of the things that's really lacking with them, and that we see that it takes that whole school year to continue to build upon that with the trust and hope. And by the end of the year, what you saw at our first of our hiring events is that they come in and they're confident, they're excited, they are expectant, because they know that we're there for them. We keep showing up. We've built the knowledge base with them. They've gotten to practice all of this, and they come in very confident and excited and hopeful. It takes those things. You have whatever you believe in your heart is what you're going to act on. And that's a big part of what we do, what we measure, and what we see the greatest gains in: perception and then intention.
The fanfare and sort of the energy that you brought and which I witnessed, you know, I know a bit about your background in terms of branding, marketing, production, music production, entertainment. You've got a wide range of skill sets. And just watching you in action in terms of seeing the kids connect with you and watching, you know, you line up all the expo people as a gauntlet for when they come off of buses, and those kinds of elements are important, I think, to just signal that this is a key moment in their lives.
Yes, absolutely. And it's one of my most joyful moments in my life, too. But our goal with that is for them to know how valuable they are to us and how excited we are to meet them, to engage, and to give them the opportunities that is going to help the companies, it's going to help them, it's going to help their families, it's going to build those strong communities, and just how vital they are, that we're all connected. And to celebrate them, it sets the tone for the whole day. And with that air of excitement, expectation, we want to make sure that it doesn't fall flat. We've all walked into scenarios that are scary and overwhelming and intimidating. I'm one that I've suffered my whole life with anxiety, hyper-awareness of situations. I just think in terms of how do we meet them where they are, lead with love, and make sure that we set them up for their greatest success. And that's where that all comes from, is that, you know, we could leave that undone, but why should we? Why would we? What are we missing? I just don't ever want to leave anything on the table. We get one chance with these kids in this moment in their life, and I just want to make sure that everything is maximized, and we start with a great warm welcome to let them know how important they are to us.
I spoke to some of the students, too, as they were making the rounds. They track their progress. They're given a sheet that's not hard to follow, where they actually, you know, have some sort of measurable action items. And so setting up that process, and in terms of their own professional development, I did hear a lot from them about wanting to have a career and to do right by their parents. And the diversity in terms of multiculturalism reflected, you know, not only people that look like them, but look like our community. And so there's something really compelling about hearing that from these students who have begun to have an expectation for professional development. And that's really too, right?
Yes, it is. And again, the diversity of our community, who we serve is the supermajority minority. And it is such a privilege to be able to extend the privilege that I've had to others. And that's part of the responsibility that we have in this and the great opportunity. We have so many folks, students and adults, that speak Spanish, and we make sure that that's all identified. Everybody's got a sticker, the adults do, so that they're easily approachable. There's a number of students in Hillsborough County Schools that are single language, not English. And we've got to be mindful of that. But we also have employers who are very interested in those different languages. The clerk of the court, for instance, Cindy Stewart's office, pays a premium because she has a high focus on customer service. So again, how do you serve your community? You've got to have those languages represented. So bringing them in, and they get an additional bump in pay because of the fact that they can speak another language. So, you know, helping students realize that what they may think is a barrier is really a strength. And that comes in so many different ways. You know, there's been students who have not thrived in a traditional classroom, but it's because they need to be outside. They need to be working. They need to be working with their hands. There's people like me who, you know, we're told to sit down and shut up because we talk too much. We're very enthusiastic. We love to engage, but we've got sales organizations and customer service organizations that want and need to engage with them and will help them find their success. So helping to navigate and realize how you are made and what you present with your intrinsic interests and aptitudes is just right, and we can find the right fit for you.
Yvonne Fry joining us. Next, why she's so passionate about workforce development as Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
Where does this sense of purpose and authenticity, because it is authentic. I mean, anybody listening to this is going to, I don't know how you don't hear that in you. And you and I have known each other a while, and I've seen you evolve into a position of really trying to give back and to make a difference and move this needle, which is something I want to get to before we close. It often comes from your family and your folks, but was this something that was instilled in you or has evolved because of your experiences?
All of it. You know, that starts with family and moves all the way through. It comes from a position of gratitude. It comes with a great sense of urgency. Life is so short. And if we're not doing things that we enjoy alongside of people that we cherish and with great outcomes, what are we doing? And that's the purpose and the place that I want to live in. I also look at this, and every day I look in the mirror and say, who am I to be doing this work? I'm not an educator. I'm not a workforce development guru, like none of that. But everything in my life has uniquely prepared and provisioned me for this moment. My professional, you know, my work in the community, my family, like all of it has brought me to this moment. And I just pray to be found faithful in it. You know, I want to do the best I can. And I surround myself with a lot of people that have the shared spirit around our mission, but have such great competency. And man, what they do is unbelievable from our team perspective. But then out into the community, you know, some of the partnerships that we're developing and how together exponentially what we can accomplish is just, it's off the charts. And that just all excites me. I love it. I love to get up in the morning and have the long laundry list of all that we get to do because I think we're moving the needle together. And that's, you know, a big part of what this comes down to. I don't ever want to do anything by myself. And I'm very grateful for all those that are part of this, our partners, volunteers, employers, like it just, the list is very, very long. But that's individuals that share that same spirit and belief of building strong communities.
It's infectious and it showed as I witnessed it. And I've asked you this a little bit before. We talk a lot in the Business Journal newsroom about moving the needle on workforce. And I think about these drops in this enormous bucket that's amorphous and hard to sort of define. And I think about other organizations. We had a published a piece today where I did a little piece on your program, but also Junior Achievement the very same day. It was at ReliaQuest, Junior Achievement of Tampa Bay, and then you've got AM Skills up in Pasco County, and you've got Tampa Bay Partnership working on things. The counties are working on things. Smart Skills up in Pasco County. It goes on. And we often talk about trying to get our arms around it. How does the needle move? Is there a way to measure that? Because the need is so great, how do we compare to things going on in Miami or Jacksonville or Orlando? Where do we get some context for how to measure results?
It's a big thing to get our arms around. But I think, one, we have to start where we are. You can't be overwhelmed by how big and complex this is. And partnerships, I can't stress that enough. I want to share two examples that are continuing to evolve for us. And we're so excited about and looking for others with synergy so that, again, that exponential piece. One is Feeding Tampa Bay. Thomas Mance and I have sat down repeatedly and level set around, we're after the same outcomes. We want families, individuals to be strong financially, emotionally, all the things. And ultimately to the point where they don't need food because they're not food insecure. They're thriving in all the right ways. And that starts back where we are, where our premise is financial independence and empowerment changes so many things. So they have really partnered with us in a strong way this year and going to continue to grow that. They are integral in our messaging. They're alongside of us with manpower and support and so on. I'll give another example, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. They've shown up in a strong way for us and we're building out a plan for into this next year. Their lane is mentorship. I've always said that's not something like that's beyond and outside of the core of what we're doing, and that I knew at the right time, the right space, that we'd figure that out with a partner. They're the perfect partner. They've already identified and are working closely with those students, so many that are at risk, and able to come alongside and support them in their journey with our curriculum and take that even further in their journey with our experiences. Some of those kids may say, I don't know, I don't think I would be the one that could get on that bus and go on a business tour. They just don't feel comfortable, confident about that. So having somebody that is able to support them and prepare them and make sure that they maximize those days. And then, of course, with our hiring events. how do we build those relationships and not get territorial? How do we not do mission creep or chase the dollar? We've got to all be about impact. We've got to be strategic. We've got to have collaboration and get in the room and be talking about these things. There's so many ways for us to collaborate and map it so that we're creating efficiencies and we're all committed to outcomes. And that I love. That is really, really exciting. And I'm so appreciative of all the folks that, you know, come alongside of us in that way. I mean, there's so many more, and I hate to call out just two because there are dozens and dozens of community partners that just have that same spirit.
Well, those that know will know, and I'm glad you mentioned those two, and food insecurity, which has been certainly a personal reporting goal of mine to talk about how food insecurity is an issue for CEOs. Much of their population, when you think of Alice families and the affordability issues that our community has and rents going out of control, that more money is essential, and that CEOs needed to be much more aware that a lot of their workforce may be hungry. And so they are an amazing organization and about to open that incredible facility in May of 24 here, where they're bringing under one roof an incredible amount of social services. These are the things that are business-to-business issues, and so you're doing your part. We have a few minutes left, Yvonne, and it's just been great to hear what your vision is here. I think one way to leave this is to be forward-thinking and future-thinking, and this is a statewide podcast. This is the Florida Business Minds podcast. So talk about continuing to scale. Is there a goal? Could this be a statewide program? Or do you want to inspire others to follow the model? Or could this be something you lead?
I appreciate that. And, you know, every day I'm focused on today, but I'm also very much a futurist and thinking about what's possible. When I first started this, people couldn't imagine what this looked like, felt like. It's so disruptive to what the status quo has been. But at this point, people get it and buy in and can see that scalability. We get asked that from the business side, from the legislative side, from the partner side, all the way around. And I'll give one example. Just recently, this week, we had a company that serves clients all throughout the Port of Tampa Bay. They're based in Pennsylvania. They don't have a formal office here, per se, with corporate. They flew down multiple people to come and work our job fairs this week. And we have that all the time. And they came in and they told me at the end of it, they said, this is the best run job fair, greatest experience, but greatest outcomes that we've ever seen. And they said, what would it take for you to come to Pennsylvania? And if I had a nickel for every time I've heard that from other states, let alone other counties, we are planning for this. I have equal sides on my brain, creative and process, and really think through how do we build a sustainability model that is able to sustain, is able to replicate and serve everybody in their unique parts of the world in a way that honors them and where they are. And if you think about Hillsborough County, to have the opportunity to serve here, we divide those 32 schools up into 8 communities. Those are really natural segmentations of our county that is so big, so diverse, so interesting all the way through. And we measure everything with our students and with outcomes in each of those communities to make sure that we're hitting the same sorts of outcomes for everybody through those standardizations, but also some customization that needs to take place accordingly as well. And we've been working through that. I would say we're probably not next year, but the school year after that would be my ideal of when we would be in some other locations, and we're having some conversations around that and really excited for that prospect. Also very overwhelmed. I want to make sure that we grow not for growth's sake, but with fidelity, that we can still have the same sorts of outcomes, impacts, partnerships, and so on all the way through. So those are the things that I think about and am really excited for, but also very mindful that that is a big, big step, a lot of responsibility, and it takes dollars. That's the other piece of this. We're a nonprofit. How do you build that out that it's not just year over year, hand over fist? It is that you've got the buy-in, you've got the right partners all the way through financially as well as organizationally, and able to build that model that doesn't need me, lives on way past, and is able to sustain. And potentially, you know, folks tell me this is going to be a national model, a shift. And I say, well, you know, let's take it one day at a time. So here we are.
Yes. And you've got a really small team which is a full-time folks. And then it's my hope certainly that through, you know, conversations like this, Workforce Development Partners website, people can contact you if they want to learn more, but you clearly want to grow and grow it right without rushing it to have the most impact. So, well, what an inspiring conversation, Yvonne. It's been wonderful to have you on the podcast today, and we're going to continue to follow workforce issues in general and certainly what you're doing. It's been really wonderful to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your friendship and the opportunity to be with you today and share our message of what we're doing. Invite others definitely to join us.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.